Amen, amen, amen. Good morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you. This is Pastor Landis Fisher, Street Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Hope you're doing well today. Amen. It is a blessing to be here at this time, and we thank God that you have chosen to join us in this time of worship and study. Amen. We love the Lord. Want to say, just before we get started, want to say, first of all, happy Mother's Day to Mother Lemon. Amen. She's one of our oldest mothers and a wonderful woman of God. And we thank God for her. Amen. Because she has really been a blessing to me all my life. And I want to also say welcome to the new baby that's coming to the St. Timothy family. From Stephanie Davis, new grandmother, amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all go ahead and give a praise, a shout of praise, and we thank God for blessing her daughter to come through everything. And we just are so blessed here today. So many wonderful bits of news coming in. Not all the news was good. We did hear a word from our sister church, New Prospect, over in East St. Louis. One of their members, a good friend of ours, passed away, so we'd like to have you pray for Issa Reynolds and family and the whole church family, Pastor Bartlett and all of them. We just thank God for them so much. They've been so close to our ministry throughout the years, and we'd like to invite you all to pray for them. Amen. And moving right along, we're coming on up on this week is the week preceding Independence Day, as you know, and we thank God for our independence, the fact that he has given us an independence that's way beyond what we celebrate here as a country, and we'll talk more about that in the message, but I thank God for every one of you. It is a blessing that God has allowed you and me to come together at this time, amen, and to be together, period. Many of you, I know from other times in life and things of that sort, and so I just thank God for you. If you are new to Street Gate Ministries or St. Timothy MB Church, we love you. We thank you for tuning in. And we pray you will enjoy this session as we get into the Word of God today. Before we do that, though, let us go ahead and have a word of prayer. I want to thank God for all that he has already done. That's one thing always comes to my mind. We can never be too thankful for anything because God is great. He's awesome. And we need to thank him for everything he has already done. That's one of the biggest differences between the lost and the saved. The saved understand that the Most High blesses and he gives all the time. He's the big giver, the big giver. He's given us everything to enjoy. So therefore, we ought to be grateful. Amen. Gratitude is a big sign to show that people really do love God and appreciate what he's done. So many have rejected God or denied God, but not us. We got to praise God and thank God for what he's already done. Amen. So I thank him for his church, and that means that's you if you believe the gospel of his son. So let's go ahead and pray right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name today, Father. Father, we exalt you today. We praise you today, Lord God, because you are excellent and you're worthy of all of our praise. Father, we lift up prayers and confessions, Lord, asking you to forgive us of our many sins, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you provided a way through your son to forgive us of all sin. And Father, we hope that you let this message go from us to others today who might be in a situation where they feel condemnation coming upon them, either from their own flesh, from the devil, or from this world, Lord. But we pray right now that you break them free, Lord God, that they will be able to give you praise and give you honor and glory and realize that you're an all-knowing and all-loving Father who has given your own son as a sacrifice for all of our sins. Help them see that today, Lord God, so that they too might be saved. If somebody's sick today or depressed or worried, whatever the case is, Lord, we pray you just wipe away that spirit of depression, wipe away that spirit of fear, Lord God. We ask you to give them peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let them know you have all things in control and can do anything but fail. And so, Father, we pray for your church everywhere, wherever she is, Lord God, that she would just bless many with the knowledge of your son today, Father, which is the greatest and most powerful message that's ever been uttered in the history of time, the gospel of your son, Jesus. So, Father, we pray blessings for all our other mothers and other people having birthdays this month. Lord God, bless them. We thank you for them, Lord, and we ask you to bless all those that are shut in, however they may be. And Father, we pray that these words of comfort might reach them some kind of way today. Father, we ask you to bless every home and every family that's represented here. Father, we pray for all our members. We've been kind of a little separated in a lot of ways since the events of these times, but Lord God, we are still together in heart and in mind, and we pray for the progress of your work here on earth, which is the gospel of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. We ask you to bless the word today as it goes forth, and we give you honor, praise, and glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And all the saints together said, amen. Go ahead and thank God and give him your best praise. Hallelujah. Amen. As I mentioned, it is that season of coming up to Independence Day. So as we approach Independence Day, it is a great time to think about what I think really of as true independence. We'll talk about that in a minute, which is that real spiritual freedom, which is granted to all believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whom God sent to reconcile the world to himself. It's a good thing to celebrate freedom. Now, you know, in all the events we've been seeing in recent days, so many are because of different things that were promised in this country that don't seem to be fair for everyone. And all of that is something that we have to say. If we look at the overall way the country is, we are the most blessed, and we should find less to complain about and more to thank God about. And I think that's part of the problem, too. But this often happens in countries when people are given a lot of blessing from God, and then they start to get accustomed to it and think they deserve it, rather than seeing it as what a blessing it is to be in the blessed land, and that I could have been somewhere else where it's far worse. And so sometimes I think our ungratefulness brings up on us a lot of the problems that we have. We should learn to be grateful and thankful. That's why the word says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And you know what? It's going to take just what we're talking about here today. This is how this got in my spirit, I believe. You won't be able to do this by yourself. You know what? You're not going to naturally be grateful and thankful regardless of what goes on. It's going to take some intervention from God. It's going to take some divine intervention. And the part that troubles me the most is that so many of us say that we have had an intervention from God, but we're still complaining and griping and bellyaching and not happy about stuff. And I think we need to get rid of that. In fact, the scripture says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. I think that's one of the biggest places that the most sin is in the church. You know, maybe if you're not saved, you want to grumble and complain. But if you're saved and you understand God loves me and he gave his son for me, you know what? I don't want to grumble and complain. That's why it's a sin. That's a terrible sin. You know, you don't hear much about a lot certain sins. You hear a lot about some sins, but you don't hear much about certain sins. Grumbling and complaining is a horrible sin in the sight of God. And I can understand it, because if he has provided us with all this, which he did, why aren't we thankful? So thankfulness is what I really want to talk about here. But if you won't be able to get there, you know what? God isn't even expecting us to be able to do it on our own. And you know what? You can't. Chances are you can't. You will not automatically be grateful for everything God is doing in your life. But here's the good news. There is supernatural superintendence, is what I like to call it. That's kind of a fancy statement, but it's really quite simple. If you love God, God loves you. He's made a way for you. He has provided you with everything you need. He even gave his son to be crucified on a grisly cross, so that he could have fellowship with us. And that fellowship is perfect only because of the work that Jesus the Christ has done. And he didn't do it just for Israel, to whom he came, which was his own people, who rejected him and were totally ungrateful. And God already knew that. So he's not dealing with stuff with people he doesn't know or understand. He's been through it already. People have never been as grateful as they should be, all the way from the garden clear on up till now. And so the fact is, you and I who meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, like David said back there in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, he said, planted beside the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that a wonderful situation? Think about that. Meditating in the law of the Lord day and night, being like a tree. In other words, with all the shifty circumstances going on, and we even had a dust storm blow in out of the Sahara Desert. Never heard of that in my lifetime. They made it all the way to the United States. A lot of supernatural global things are happening right now in the world. And perhaps, and I'm not saying God as I mentioned last week, let's put it this way. He has a long fuse, and he's put up with all the foolishness of man all the way from Adam until today. And so God already knows the situation, but it's the duty of the church to let the people know that God loves you. He loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And he gave his son to make a intervention into all of time so that true independence could really be experienced by the ones who believe in him and believe that God raised him from the dead. So as we go through this season, we want to ask you to think about think about how grateful you are and how free you really are. You know, it doesn't make any difference what people do to you. You know, they really can't. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. Only God does. And he loves you, and he doesn't want you in hell. He wants you to be in his grace and in heaven and to be with him right now. And he wants to be with you right now. He wants to love on you, and he wants you to love him back. So let's really talk about this supernatural superintendence here today. God is there. He always is, always has been, and always will be. And time is the thing that is wasting away. Time away and the fashion thereof. But he who does the will of God abideth forever, the scripture says. So I want to share just a couple of things with you here to get the ball rolling today as we approach Independence Day. And underneath all that, I want you to meditate on how free and independent you can be, even no matter what you receive. Think about it. Jesus received the worst even after he had done his very best. He was mauled, criticized, gambled over his clothes, all kinds of things negative happened, beaten, ridiculed, mocked, and shamed and disgraced in a very, very terrible way, as you know, according to all the New Testament. And he did all that, and the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he was successful going through the whole life, and he did it without sin in order that he might present us, me and you, faultless before the presence of God. Who's born has to come around eventually to learning to understand God's intervention into mankind's affairs, if you will, and to develop a relationship with God. So here the psalmist in Psalms number 116 says this, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Think about that. God wants to hear from you. And then it says, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So when you realize God is there listening to you, the psalmist relationship and the fellowship that God desires to have with me. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Now that sounds so much like what we're going through today. Trouble and sorrow, the threats of death all around us. And the fact is, if you're still here and you can hear my voice, God loves you. He made a way for you. Whatever it was before, all the way from your birth even to now, he brought you through. Amen. He's promised to take you all the way through into his kingdom if you believe in him and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, his son. The psalmist learned this, and of course this psalmist is David. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. We talked about that in a message or two back. God has great mercy. In other words, he gives us blessings instead of giving us what we deserve so many times. Amen. I'm a living witness. And if you're telling the truth, you would be too. Amen. But let's move on. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. See, when you get down and depressed, some of us are like that now. All this talk about viruses and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of animosity and hatred among blacks and whites and different people of various nationalities. But God created all the people, and all the variations they have just show forth the beauty of the tapestry of humanity that God has made. And it's not his intention that we would be at one another's throat or trying to declare supremacy over anybody or anything like that. So when you see that, and whether a person says they're a Christian or not, that's something coming out of the flesh, it's coming out of the world, it's coming from the devil, it's not coming from God. If people are heaping blame on one another, that's not coming from God. I want you to understand that. Doesn't make any difference who, whether it's blacks on whites, whites on blacks, Chinese, Jewish people, whoever it is, God made them all. And everyone he made one way. Nobody has an advantage at this time in history to be closer to God or not. Everybody has to come the same way. And God loves everyone, and he has never refused any of them. We could take a time, I wish I had time to sort through the word and show you all the times in the history of Israel, God's chosen people, that he just allowed all kinds of people who were Gentiles from every stripe to be a part of his family. So realize this, God has no prejudice whatsoever. He told the church when Jesus had risen from the dead and declared, "All power is given to me," Matthew 28:18. And he says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So the mission of the church is to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You know what that means? That means you. He loves you. It doesn't make any difference what your paint job is. See? And doesn't make any difference anything about your nationality. He created you all from one human being, one pair that he made, and all of us exist as a result of that. So we really need to lose the complaining, lose the bickering, lose the political stuff. All that stuff's not going to help you. It'll help you more if you come clean before a holy God and let God know that you do love him, and he will help you with the other issues. We need supernatural superintendents, which is the intervention of Almighty God into your life. And he promises to provide that for you. Did you know that? God promises that I will be there to see over, oversee everything in your life when you invite me. And Jesus put it this way in Revelation. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him." He wants you to open up that door and let him come into your life. And he said, "I'll dine with you." You know, he is the bread of life. He wants to come in and dine with you. He'll show you how to get rid of a heart of animosity and a heart of hatred. I hear so much of it from people I know who are professing Christians. And they want to talk about all of the stuff. You know, we need to forget all that and get off that train, get on the train of God's progress in the world, which is the one that is taking the gospel that he so loves the world. That means everyone. And he loves us all equally. Amen. So we want to stay there. Stay there and let your mind be stayed on him. That's where you get perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3 says. So the psalmist learned this going through life. I'm better off when I meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. I don't want to get stuck up in human works and politics and this race and that race. All of that is a rat race. That's awful. It really is, in all honesty. And you know what? You should be above that. God has lifted you to a higher level. Where you can actually see things from his perspective, and that's from the supernatural perspective. God is looking at the whole world, and he wants the whole world to be evangelized. In other words, told the good news that there's one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father. And he sent his only son for you, no matter who you are. Just put your mind there, and you know what? The other stuff is so trivial. It'll just come right out of your psyche. You can settle down. You don't have to have your blood pressure cranked up 49 notches because you're all worked up over something that you can't change. He can change it, and he's the only one who will. And there's been controversy like that throughout the scripture. Moving on, Psalms 1:16. I want to take you here. It says, "The Lord preserveth the simple." In other words, keep your thoughts simple. Stay on God. Stay in that realm. Stay out of the realms that create confusion and animosity. And then it says, "Return unto thy rest." You know, that's what's going to happen. When you turn over all that you're feeling, I'm not saying it's not normal to feel twisted this way or that way as you listen to stuff that you hear going on in the world. Yeah, you know, somebody tell you this and that about different types of groups of people and different types of diseases and the police and all kinds of different stuff. Yeah, you're going to be uneasy. Sometimes it even comes close and gets into your family. And that makes it even more difficult. See? But still, in all, you and I owe God the deepest and highest respect. And God promised that I will supernaturally superintend everything in your life. In other words, I'm going to come in a supernatural way by being the Spirit of God, because he gives the Spirit of God to everyone who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believes that he raised him from the dead. That's why it was necessary for Jesus to come and be crucified, because he paid the debt that I owe in full. He paid the debt that you owe in full. See, all by himself. He's the only man that has ever done that. The only one who ever lived in this world without a spot or a wrinkle, from the womb to the tomb, and then he died by his own free will, because there was no reason why he should have died, because his works were perfect. See, have been from the foundation of the world when he was face to face with the Father. He was born in the womb of from out of the womb of a virgin, let me say, came into the world in a sinless manner, proceeded all the way through his life until he had fulfilled the scriptures, what thus saith the Lord, in order to give me and you a right to the tree of life, which Adam had defiled when he sinned. And Jesus is the only victor. And he produced that victory in time so that we can all benefit from it. You know who the benefactors are? Everybody who believes in him. And then when you trust him and believe in him, he takes up residence in you to supernaturally superintend the circumstances of your life and the conditions that you have to deal with. So you won't be able to do some of this stuff I'm saying. I don't think you hear many messages about gossip and all the kind of stuff that's really seated deep in our spirits. And we do it every day, so we're so accustomed to doing the sins that are very seldom ever spoken about that we don't allow God to regulate our spirit, come into our life, and superintend our mindset. That's why it says, if I meditate in his law and in his word day and night, if I keep my mind stayed on him, that he'll give me perfect peace. And I don't have to fight my own battles. See? And so this is where you got to get. You're not going to get there easily. God doesn't want to force his way into your life, but he does want to supernaturally superintend the events of your life. And he'll do it if you allow him. See, that's the key. You and I have to allow God to come in and administer his grace in our heart. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Return to thy rest. Psalms 116 and 7. Oh, my soul, let my soul settle down. Return to my rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. God has dealt bountifully. In other words, he has an abundance of rest and peace that he can sow into your life if you let him do it. You know what? He doesn't want to bust the door in. That's why he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But if you open that door, I'm coming in, and I'm going to bring you a peace like a river that passeth all understanding. So you can stop worrying about so much stuff and stop complaining about so much stuff. You know, worry and complaints, they don't get you anywhere. But prayer and supplication and thanksgiving will get you a long way. See, that's why Paul said, meditate on these things, whatsoever things are good. He reversed the whole thing of what normal human meditation might be about. It's easy to get hung up in the events of the day. But God says, get into me. Let me come in and supernaturally superintend everything in your life. You know why? Because I love you. I care about you. I've protected you all your life, ever since you were, even before you were born. I supernaturally superintended to your mother in the mother's womb to shape you and make you the man or woman that you are today. You got to know this and accept it, and then rejoice in God over it. And then when stuff doesn't go right, run back, hasten to his throne, like they used to sing all the time. So I think that's the reason why some of the elders in the church say, long as I live, while trouble rise, I'm going to hasten to his throne. Hurry up and get to his throne when these kind of things attack your mindset and get you into a situation where you feel flustered, where you can't operate in the realm of peace. See, that Hebrew word shalom, or the Greek word irene, they means peace. And God wants you to be at peace. And he's given his spirit so you can. But you know what? We let our minds take off and we complain so much that we don't have the peace that we need. But the scripture says God will give you a peace that passeth all understanding. It will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's where we got to be right there. So the psalmist learned that. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. See, he has to make a determination No matter what's going on, I could be coming unglued. It's not going to stop the barrage of stuff that might be working against you. But you know what? You can have peace on the inside. It'll probably lower your blood pressure and get you down where you can say, I trust God with all my heart and with my life, and I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to lean not to my own understanding. So let's talk about this just a bit here. I want you to see that the psalmist, like many of us, was being challenged like we are by many assaults from the world and from the flesh and from the devil, and with a never-ending bad news, spiritual frustration, trouble and sorrow on every side, seemingly being overwhelmed with serious life and life-threatening conditions, just like you and I have. They pressed him to his knees to seek superintendence from the Almighty through prayer, which brought on a sense of belonging to God. That's the one thing you want to know, that you belong to God, and a comfort proceeding from God, which he so desperately needed. See, that's what I need. I got to have a supernatural comfort. Some people say, go to the psychiatrist and let them give you some drugs. Well, that's one option, and there is a place for that, I imagine, if somebody is so far out. But you know what? That's not what God really wants. Normally for us, he wants us to come to him. And if you start to do this, really turn it over. I'm not talking about just say a little prayer and then keep on worrying. I'm talking about get into God and let God. He said, I'm already in you. If you have trusted in me, we're going to talk about that in just a minute here in the book of Romans. I'm in you, and so I'm there. So you need to just tune in on the fact that I love you and I am in you. I've moved into you. If you trust in my son and believe that God, that I have raised him from the dead, my spirit is in you. See? So we got to get in that realm of the spirit. Allow the spirit to adjust you, to regulate you. Slow down. Do what you have to do. Like he told Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, the psalmist says. Change the way you do stuff. That's what we have to do. And I'm getting better with this, too. I'm not telling you I'm a perfect one who practices this, but I know it's right. And I need the supernatural superintendence of God in my life to keep my spirit from getting flustered with all the stuff that's going on. It can be very difficult if we don't. And so that's what's very important. So since the scriptures are clear that there is no one who seeks after God, do you know what? If you trust God, it's because he's seeking you. You didn't suddenly get wise and say, oh, let me see, can I find God? No, God intervened and came in your life and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He may be doing that for you now. If you've never heard this, that he loves you, he accepts you, he knows everything you're doing, and he still loves you. You know, I'm happy people don't know everything I'm doing as far as other people, because you might not be able to trust another person with the deepest, most intimate kind of things that you might be dealing with. But you can always trust God. He says, I know everything about you, and I know why you do what you do, and I can supernaturally superintend your life to help you get onto the track you need to be on. He's the only one who can do that. So that's why Jesus said things like this, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's the only one who could have told you. He's the only one been in the Father's house. See, he was with God before the foundation of the world, before the heavens and the earth were created. He came into the world to fulfill the plan he and his Father had made all the way back then in order to pay the debt entirely for all of our sins and give his life as a ransom for many in order to be able to die and be laid in the grave according to the scriptures and rise on the third day, declaring all power is given to me. He wants you to have that supernatural power, and that's why he said it's expedient for you if I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. But when the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, will come, he will be in you and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. See? So when you get in the truth, all this other stuff is so trivial. It is so trivial. We don't really need to worry about it. You know, God says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So since the scriptures are clear that there is no one who seeks after God, we must come to realize that God himself draws to himself everyone to whom he gives faith to trust in him through his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, in order that each one whom he has chosen, keep that in mind, he chose you. If you believe, you did not choose me, I chose you, John 15:16 says. know, I chose you. So why don't we adjust our mind to realize God supernaturally superintended even calling us into the body of Christ and giving us faith to believe. Now think about that. A lot of people today tell you faith is something you must come up with, but that's not true. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9, lest any man should boast. See, so God says, I even gave you the faith that you have to believe in me. So when you need to do something or you got some trouble in your life, hasten to his throne. Like the old folks used to sing all the time. I sing it too, so maybe I'm an old folk. But in either case, I digress. So God's son Jesus came in order that each one whom he has chosen will continue under his supernatural superintendence, which he provides in abundance to everyone who believes in him and on the merits of Jesus, his son. It's not because I'm so wonderful that God provides his spirit. It's because we trust on him through the merits of Jesus Christ. He has earned everything that you need for you to be perfectly spotless in the presence of God. That's a big, big deal there. You know what? I'm not concerned so much about what happens here as I am the fact that God gave his son for me. I'm excited about that. So y'all want to argue about all kinds of other stuff? Not me. I don't want to be in on that one, you know, because it's unprofitable. And I'd rather spend my time reaching out to people and let them know God loves you just like you are, gave his son Jesus. That's a bigger fact than all of the news and everything going on around this world. And we see more things now. You know, I'm going to conclude with some things here in a minute. I see time's winding down. But I want you to take a brief look here at Romans 8:18 just before we go along. I want you to understand, Paul wrote this, keep in mind Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, this stuff you're going through, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. God has so much glory, this stuff here is going to seem like small potatoes when you get into his presence. And there's one way to get into his presence. That's by his grace through faith in Jesus, and that alone. See? But when you get there, you're going to look back and look at all the stuff you were concerned about and worried about, and go, well, I should have wasted a lot of time. Don't do that. Let God's supernatural superintendence operate in your life. Let him show you the ins and outs. Let him calm you down and bring you down about 5 levels from where you are when you get all worked up about something. You see, he's the only one who can do it. And Paul said, it's not even worthy to be compared, the stuff you're going through now. And then he explains why. For the earnest expectation of the creature, in other words, the created things, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, these are people who will be born of God. The whole creation is waiting on me and you to get ourselves together. And it's groaning right now. That's what we see when we see locusts out of control, dust storms, and all kinds of stuff going on in the world on a supernatural, now global level. We're starting to see it more and more every day. Should it be a wake-up call? We ought to say, oh, shoot, I need to wake up right now and trust in the name of Jesus. And no more time for all of that petty stuff. It's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that God has promised to you. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope. In other words, everything in the earth really, it's like Solomon said, vanity of vanities. It's not going to amount to much. We got people doing a lot of stuff today so they can stack up billions. And Jesus said this, Matthew 16:26, what would a profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? One soul is worth more than the whole creation, this whole planet. See, you could gain the whole world and lose your soul. Then what do you have? See? So this is so temporary, we need to look at the eternal. Set your mind on things above, like Paul said, not on things on the earth. But you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That doesn't mean you don't need to have possessions. It's a wonderful thing that God allows us to have the stuff we have. It really is. And he gives you billions, use it to preach all over the world. That's what I intend to do. He gives it to me. You know, I want to use it to expand the knowledge of God to the ends of the earth. So that is the purpose of the church. And as much of the church has forgotten this and have gotten into all kinds of stuff, health, wealth, and prosperity in our time. And there's nothing wrong with health, wealth, and prosperity if you're using it for God and if you're using it to press the gospel out to the ends of the world like he told you. It's a good thing, but it won't do you any good if you don't have Christ. If Jesus is not the focal point of your life, whatever you have is going to amount to nothing. And there's so many parables about that, we don't have time to talk about it. But moving on in Romans, as I cut to the chase, because the creature itself is also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So God is putting up with all of this just for his children to be able to be called out. He said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. See, he wants us to come out of the confusion, the racing after dollar and all of that, making our minds all messed up. Focus on him and move forward in Christ and put the gospel out to as many as you can. He says, moving on, verse 23 in Romans 8, and not only they, but also, oh, I'm sorry, back to 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In other words, the earth and the creation is all suffering. That's why you're starting to see some things denigrating. I've never in my lifetime remember ever hearing of a dust storm blowing all over the, from across the ocean all the way to the United States. That's a big deal. And people are going to try to blame it on global warming, but don't let me bring that up. I don't have enough time. We'll talk about that another day. But in the case, I want you to see here, moving to verse 23. And not only they, but also ourselves also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The only thing that hasn't been redeemed is your body. And that's where the problem is. We live in a fleshly body. It's the same body we were in when we were lost. It has some of the same drives and desires that we had when we were lost. So it's easy to get hung up in the everyday, day-to-day stuff that people in the world do. But we need supernatural superintendence from God. And we did a whole series at St. Timothy just last year, right before the beginning of the year, and up into the beginning of this year, on the Holy Spirit. You and I have got to get into the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that we're not, but however much you are, you can go deeper. And you can get closer, and you can have more of God in your life. You know what? He's there for us, and we got all we're going to get. The Holy Spirit doesn't increase. But the problem is we need to yield our own mind and our own flesh to God's will. And quit tripping off the mundane, that stuff you can't do much about. You know, do all you can. I'm not saying be lazy or don't vote or nothing like that. No, get up and vote. Do everything you normally do. And try to make the situation the best you can. That's what God says do. Acknowledge government, but don't get hung up in it. Our real deal is the gospel, if we really understand that. God's going to deal with all that. You know, we see him raise up kingdoms and set them down all through the Bible. He raises them up, he sets them down. When they get way out of control, sets them down, you got to go. And he raises up another one. He's been doing it all the way from the beginning. You can trust him to do that. That's part of our problem. We think, what are these countries? Nations, these rulers, all these folks, you know what they are? They don't amount to the dust on the scale, it says in one passage in the scriptures. Like dust on the scale. It doesn't even make a difference. I'm still going to get the right weight. A little dust on the scale is not going to change a thing. That's about how they are. It's like a drop in the bucket, all the nations, the scripture said. Why are we hung up on that? Why do we get stuck there? We need to get past there, and it's going to take supernatural superintendence for us to get our minds clear and stayed on focus and on target to what God is doing. Moving on in Romans 8, my time's getting away too quick. But he says, if we hope for that we do not see, he says, with patience we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even really know how to pray. You know, we think we do, but no, we don't. And so God gave you the Holy Spirit so he can supernaturally superintend to your prayer life, providing prayer and groanings that cannot be uttered, it says in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's a sickness, a spiritual sickness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Aren't you happy about that? I am. I'm happy God's Spirit prays for me. Because a lot of days I feel empty, don't know what to say to God. I can feel, be feeling some kind of way, we always like to say. But God knows how I'm feeling, and the Spirit is able to communicate, superintending what I really need between myself and the Almighty. And he loves you, and he wants to do that for you. So if you're not saved, please believe Christ today. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things, this is the part I want you to see about this supernatural superintendence, is that all things, they say in verse 28, probably maybe one of your favorite verses, one of them, together for to them who are the called according to his purpose. See that? So no matter what's going on, good, bad, or ugly, God is going to work it together for the good of those who love him and who are the called. In other words, he called you for the purpose of making everything in your life for your good, even though it may not be good. It's not good, a lot of the stuff I see going on. But you know what? God's working it for my good. God is working it for your good. He loves you, and he's working it out for your good. So you can trust him no matter what terrible things. But God says, whatever it is, I'm supernaturally superintending to your life, and I'm working it all together for your good and for my glory. When it's all done, he's going to be glorified. Amen? Amen. I hope you're feeling that today, because this is a good word. And notice this now, moving on to verse 29. The whole thing was pre-planned by God, from whom he did foreknow. See, in other words, whoever the people are, he knew in eternity past that would believe him and trust him would get this peace, this supernatural superintendence from him. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So God is seeing each of us who believe in Jesus Christ as the finished product. He saw it all the way from the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4 says he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. So I hope that you understand that God loves you just like you are. He wants you to be saved. He's giving you understanding right now today to know that you are his child and he loves you if you love him back. And hopefully you'll make that commitment today. I want to trust Jesus Christ. He gave Christ to be the propitiation for all of my sins. In other words, I don't owe God anything. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe, like the song says. And so you can trust in him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Amen. So the love of God toward the called out ones, which is his church, are preserved by his supernatural superintendence, which he promised by saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about that. God says, I don't care what you're going through. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on me. You know what? You may not be able to count on somebody else. A whole lot of people might abandon you, but God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. Amen. That's a promise from God. So learn to get your mind out of the realm of stuff in the world, stuff with folks being argumentative and competitive and all of that, and kind of rush into the presence of God. Take your deepest, most innermost concerns, worries, pressures, like some people wondering about employment right now. Just ask God, Lord God, I need a job. And God knows you need that job. And he's going to make a way for you out of no way. Whatever it is, doesn't make a difference what it is. Ask God. Call upon the Lord. He has an answer for your situation. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I hope you believe that. And you know what? You can trust him with anything, because that's why he raised Jesus from the dead and he showed himself alive for all those days after he had risen. 40 days, the scripture says, that he was seen alive by many witnesses before he ascended back to be seated at the right hand of God. And so he did that for you and me, so we don't even need to worry about the grave or death. What else is worse? You know what? Situations in the world and all that, it's not worse than death. I think we should think death is about the worst thing. But the fact is, God has covered you even for that, much less anything else, a job, whatever you might need. And he is able, because you know what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. And so he has everything. He has every thing we need. He has every mindset we need. He has the compassion we need. He has the mercy we need. He has the forgiveness we need. We like to bear grudges. I'm going to forgive you, but there's a limit to it. And he has no limit to the forgiveness that he gives you or me. See? So we need to remember all that. Remember that and walk by faith, not by sight. And God loves you and he wants to supernaturally superintend. That means I'm in charge of all the stuff going on in your life. Amen. We hope that you got a good word from this message today. And it is a blessing and a pleasure for me to come to you. Amen. And bring these messages. And if you have a question, like I always say, sometimes you may want to send me a message. I got a couple in my queue here now to talk with some people about online, I noticed. And I will deal with them as soon as I get a minute here today. But if you have anything of that sort, please feel free to contact us. Once again, I am Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. And just before I pull the plug, I want to say that we are working on a new website, and I'll give you some more information about that later on, perhaps on the Wednesday Bible study. So we hope you got a good word from the message today, and we love you. We're praying for you, and if you want us to pray with you on anything, by all means, contact us, and we will get back with you. Amen. So we hope you have a blessed rest of your day. And I hope this message has really altered the way you think about the stuff you're dealing with so that you can hasten to the Spirit of God and have him fill you up so you don't have to be concerned with so many things. Amen. Thank God for you, and may God richly bless you. Hope to see you soon. God bless.